Welcome back for Hour 3 of Issues Etc. Little sermon review in the last hour of today's Tuesday program. Have we ever reviewed a sermon from Kenneth Hagin Jr.? I don't think we have. This would be a first. Now, for those of you who think we simply review too many Joel Osteen sermons or Robert Schuller sermons, we looked around. We went through a number of sermons before we picked what we thought would be a good example of a Mother's Day sermon that we could review here on Issues, Etc. Hey, I preached a Mother's Day sermon on Sunday. I did. I even talked about Mother's Day. It really had nothing whatsoever. It was just by, you know what I did? All I talked about was the tree. The text was, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay? I just talked about the tree that I got my wife for Mother's Day a couple years ago and how I can't keep the darn thing alive. Well, actually, this is the third one. The previous two died of one of wind and the other one of, what would you call it? Incompetence in animal, not animal husbandry, incompetence in agricultural husbandry. I can't grow anything. I can't. I kill plants. No green thumbs here. And that was the mention that Mother's Day got in my sermon, the Mother's Day tree. And I thought I did my duty there by way of Mother's Day. I mean, I didn't want to walk out when someone says, you didn't mention Mother's Day. I did, technically. But since it's really hard to shoehorn Mother's Day and mothers into I am the vine, you are the branches, without doing at least mild violence to the text, I figured that was the safest route. Kenneth Hagin's going to preach a Mother's Day sermon. We'll be hearing it here. He's got a television program called Rhema. And on this program, for Mother's Day, he featured one of his Mother's Day sermons. I don't know if he preached this in his church or whose church, but he preached it from a pulpit. We're going to hear it, and we're going to review it. Now, this is how we review sermons here on Issues, Etc. We have our three-part diagnostic. What we're trying to determine, and this is all we're really trying to determine at this point, there's so much more you can do by way of sermon evaluation. There's just never enough time to do that. Certainly 1 hour wouldn't do it for a single sermon, even an hour of radio. The only question we're trying to answer is this sermon about Jesus and what he has done for you in his life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection? Is this sermon about Jesus and what he's done for you as a sinner? This diagnostic really doesn't answer other very important questions about what should be in a sermon. But this is the first question that should be asked. Is the sermon about Jesus and what he does, or about someone else and what they're doing or have done? Here's the three-part diagnostic. First, in order for the sermon to be about Jesus, he's got to be mentioned. So keep a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned in the sermon. Now, he could be mentioned by other names than Jesus, but a generic God mention just doesn't do it. It needs to be a reference to Jesus in some shape, matter, or form. Second part of the diagnostic is, if Jesus is mentioned, then grammatically, simple grammar, is he the subject of the verbs? Every sentence has a subject and a predicate. That predicate usually has a verb in it. So, is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is he the one driving the verbs, doing the action? And if Jesus is mentioned, and he is the subject of the verbs, then go on to part three of the diagnostic, which is, what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you Jesus has done or is doing or will do for you? At the end of this diagnostic, you will be able to tell, in a very basic way, whether or not the sermon is about Christ and what he's done for you, or about something else. And it goes without saying, or at least it should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. There are many sermons being preached in many pulpits Sunday after Sunday that have nothing to do with Jesus. They function perfectly well without Jesus, which should worry us. They're about all sorts of things, all sorts of subjects. Some of them glance at Jesus. Some of them give Jesus honorable mention. But they're not really about Jesus. When Paul says, we preach Christ and him crucified. When he says, the content of our preaching is the good news, that is the foolishness of this gospel we preach, the message of Christ. He's saying that the content of Christian preaching ought to be Christ for sinners, what Jesus Christ has done for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. And you don't have to search hard in Scripture to find it. It's all over the place. So this sermon comes from Kenneth Hagin Jr. Kenneth Hagin Jr. is the son of Kenneth Hagin, who is one of the, or was, one of the bright lights of the Word Faith movement. You will note in this sermon a fair amount of the Word Faith teaching in a pretty bald-faced way. So don't be shocked by that. He has some interesting things to say about mothers, and in particular about the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. Here's the sermon, Mother's Day sermon, from Kenneth Hagin Jr.
Let me know what today is. Mother's Day. It's a very special day. In 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day a national holiday to be held on the second Sunday of May. It is certainly true that no nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of the next generation. Let me quote you some things that were said about mothers by some of our presidents.
This is not a hopeful beginning, folks. First, do you know what today is? It's Mother's Day. Kind of a stupid question on Mother's Day. I mean, anyone who doesn't know it's Mother's Day when it's Mother's Day has a bigger problem with mom than they know. But by an act of Congress in 1914, that's also not a hopeful beginning. Isn't it amazing that Christians who say the government shouldn't tell us what to do and say and preach and believe, on Mother's Day will say, Jesus, you just take the week off. We're going to do what the government told us to do, celebrate Mother's Day. We're going to celebrate a national holiday on Sunday morning. You know, a lot of this could be solved, although I doubt it would be, but it could be solved by simply moving Mother's Day to Monday. That way, at least people would get off of work. But the fact that it's on Sunday gives a lot of preachers like Kenneth Hagin and many, many others license to simply clear their agenda and talk about mothers. Will he do more than talk about mothers? We will see. But it's not a hopeful beginning when you start, number one, by saying, okay, this is what this is all about. Today is a day devoted to mothers. Number two, we're doing it because it was an act of Congress. And then number three, rather than turning to Holy Scripture, which would be kind of the logical place for Christians to turn for the substance of preaching, we turn to the sayings of American presidents.
President George Washington, the first president of this nation. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. President William McKinley, by the blessings of heaven, I mean to live and die and please God in the faith of my mother. President Abraham Lincoln, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. President Ronald Reagan, from my mother I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams, and believe I can make them come true. President George W. Bush, mothers are central to the success of the American family. Their love, dedication, and wisdom touch countless lives every day in every community throughout our land. Thank God for your mothers, and we honor all of you today, and we honor you for all that you do and all that you will continue to do. I am also keenly aware that today may be a difficult day for some people because of various circumstances. However, I believe that mothers are some of the most powerful and most influential people on earth.
Well, there's no doubt about that. It's one of my pet peeves when preachers state the obvious. When they state the banal and the obvious. Mothers are some of the most, he makes the statement as though it were some great insight. I believe that mothers are among the most influential people on earth. When you make a statement that virtually no one in the universe would disagree with on any basis, that's called banal. It's so obviously self-evident. Yes, okay. The same could be said couldn't a dog say the same thing? I think that mothers are the most influential creatures on earth. By virtue of their relationship with their children, and since everybody's got one, yes, mothers are probably among the most influential people on earth. My mother still strongly influences me. Everyone's mother, if they're still alive, still does. For good or for ill, the influence is still there. So what have you said? If you're going to talk about mothers, please, if you're going to give Jesus a week off and just devote a sermon to mothers and talk about motherhood and mothers, have something more than just the obvious to say. Here's more of Kenneth Hagin Jr.
Someone has said, if daddy isn't happy, who cares? But if mama isn't happy, then nobody is happy. Mothers are unique, special, and you might say they are the crown of all of God's creation. Here's a story I'd like to tell you. A junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of the magnet for an entire class session. The next day, he gave a quiz. The first question read like this. My name begins with an M and has six letters, and I pick up things. What am I? And half of the class wrote as their answer, M-O-T-H-E-R. Today, I want us to recognize and realize the power of a mother's faith. I want to recognize three things that I see that happened when a mother placed her faith in the promises of God. Number one, a mother's faith can bring heaven to earth. And I read from the first chapter of Luke. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. One reason I think that maybe that Mary was chosen because she believed what God would tell her. I want you to notice her response to the angel. May it be to me as you have said. That's belief. Unlike Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, who will be with child John the Baptist, Mary believed. Zacharias said, I don't believe. And because of that, he couldn't speak for the whole time.
And that's not the only thing he's going to say about the Virgin Mary. Just hold on. But he's already made a statement that I think we should... Okay, if he's just going to talk about mothers, and let's just deal with that, because apparently, at least at this point, the only time Jesus is going to get mentioned is by talking about his mother. So this is going to be a sermon about mothers and a sermon about, let's just kind of come to grips with that, deal with that, get comfortable with it, because that's what this sermon's going to be about, unless he decides to radically change the direction he's going. One of the reasons he thinks the Virgin Mary was chosen was because she believed. God chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ because he knew she would believe. I wonder what other reasons he thinks. I mean, he said that's one of the reasons. I wonder what other reasons he thinks she was chosen for. The fact is, Scripture does not tell us what reason God had in mind when he chose the Virgin Mary, other than that she was a virgin and she was from the right family. But she certainly was not chosen because she would believe. She believed because she was chosen. I think he's giving the Virgin Mary a little too much credit, a credit she would not even claim for herself. She doesn't stand up and say, "Oh, I believe, now I know why I was chosen." She says, "Why? How can it be? I do not deserve to have this happen." Oh, she didn't say, "Oh, I know why you chose me, Gabriel. I believe." No, she did not believe until the word was spoken. Did God know she would believe? Sure he did. But I imagine he chose her, a sinner, just for the same reason he chose the rest of us. But he's not done with the Virgin Mary. He'll come back to her in just a moment.
Mary's faith caused the supernatural miracle of heaven to come to earth. Number two, a mother's faith can produce a godly legacy that affects generations to come. We read in Luke chapter 2, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to him. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. While others wonder in amazement about the child Jesus, Mary, believing in her heart what God had said about who the child was lying in the manger. You know, there are two aspects to a mother's faith. One, a mother believes what God said in his word. And two, a mother believes in her children.
Okay. He's talking about a mother's faith. The question naturally rises with me. Faith in what? Faith in who? Apparently just faith that... Well, now in Mary's case, he says, faith in what God's word says. That's not a bad thing to say. Although, did you hear what he said about Mary? He said Mary's faith caused the supernatural miracle to descend from heaven. This is thoroughly word faith. It was Mary exercising her faith, that God kind of faith, in terms of the word faith teachers, that permitted God to do the miracle. If she wouldn't have believed, God wouldn't have been able to do the miracle. In word faith theology, the way it works is when you exercise your faith, that releases God's power. God is kind of shut out of the universe, and the only access he has into this world is when Christians exercise their faith. And then God can act. So who caused the incarnation, according to Kenneth Hagin Jr.? I mean, if he's going to be talking about Mary as the mother, an example of mother's faith, let's deal with it. Who caused the incarnation? Mary did. She did it. At the very least, she permitted God to do it. So she's held up as an example of faith, not faith in her son. And he did mention Jesus. But the real subject here is Mary, the mother, and mother's faith. She's held up as an exemplar of faith, and a mother's faith can make those kind of things happen. I thought it had something to do with the plan and foreknowledge of God, and that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. He did not wait until Mary chose her time. He actually chose his time, sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. What if he's going to get to any of that stuff about Jesus?
How many of you would say that your mother believed in you even sometimes when you didn't believe in yourself. I can raise my hand. My mother's sitting here today. I thank God for it. She used to tell me, Ken, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I believe in you, and you can do whatever you desire to do with God's help. You know, mothers have a privilege of bringing a new life into the world. But they're also uniquely equipped to nurture and to help that child grow. A mother was talking to an old college friend and said, I remember before I was married that I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories. Here's something that is a little different. But this is how one son wrote about how his mother helped him to grow up. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off of that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. Don't cross your eyes. You'd look weird if they stick that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you can forget about getting a good job. My mother taught me how to become an adult. You have to eat your vegetables if you want to grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. By your response, I think that you have heard that before somewhere.
Okay, we're in the middle of Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s Mother's Day sermon broadcast on his television program, Rhema. It's part of our sermon review here on Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 16th of May. You can chime in if you like, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. We said we went looking for a Mother's Day sermon. We listened to several and chose this one. We did not choose one because it leaves Jesus out. We didn't. Although, it wouldn't have been hard to find one. The Mother's Day sermon that we had from Robert Schuller also left Jesus out. So it's not really hard. You can go to many churches. Perhaps you were in one on Sunday morning where you heard a dandy sermon about mothers, but not a single syllable about Jesus. Or maybe almost as bad, you heard a dandy sermon about mothers, and then to kind of help it along and make sure the preacher didn't get any flack after the service, he tossed in near the end something, some mention of Jesus. Maybe even some mention of what Jesus has done for us sinners. But in the end, the sermon really wasn't about Jesus. It just mentioned him. More of this sermon review when we come back.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross-focus of growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories. They don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Refuting compromise. Are there gaps in the genealogy?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry is building a major creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio. Ken, I've heard many Christians claim that there are gaps in the genealogies of Genesis chapters 5 and 11.
Now, are there gaps, and why do Christians even want to have gaps there?
Mark, there are no gaps at all in these genealogies. Let me explain. First of all, the reason many Christians claim there are gaps in the genealogies of Genesis 5 and 11 is because they're trying to extend the age of the earth and the age of time man has been on the earth. You know why? To fit with the secular world dates. Some people claim that the father-son relationships in these genealogies could actually mean father-grandson or great-grandson and so on. This supposedly allows for much longer time periods. But in reading these genealogies, we find evidence they are literal father-son relationships. For example, we know from other information that Adam and Seth, Seth and Enosh, Noah and Shem, Eber and Peleg, and Terah and Abraham are all direct father-son relationships. This is strong evidence there are no gaps in these genealogies. And for those who claim there are gaps, the burden of proof is on them to show from the text that they must be there. No, we can believe God's word, as written.
What does the Bible say about the origin of all the different people groups or races around the world? Ken Ham has studied this topic in depth, and you can read his free booklet at AnswersRadio.com.
Theology for Mercy. What does it mean to be a Lutheran in social ministry? The church is a mercy place. Theological reflections on confessional Lutheran involvement in neighborhood renewal. These are just some of the free resources offered by LCMS World Relief. You can get your copy of these booklets and more resources by calling LCMS World Relief 1-800-248-1930 and ask for LCMS World Relief. Or just look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. For free resources, call 1-800-248-1930, 1-800-248-1930, and ask for LCMS World Relief. They'll not only send you free booklets, but also a free video titled Making a World of Difference and Pastor Matt Harrison's Sharing and Caring newsletters. 1-800-248-1930, LCMS World Relief.
Here at AMA 50KFUO, it's our privilege to salute our day sponsors on this Tuesday, May 16th, 2006. The Reverend Tom and Mrs. Susie Reese. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to AM 850 KFUO in gratitude to God for their daughters, Elizabeth, Katie, and Jenny. Once again, a very special thank you to the Reverend Tom and Mrs. Susie Reese of St. Louis, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsors.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 25 minutes left in the program. We're doing a sermon review of Kenneth Hagin Jr.'s Mother's Day sermon. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Thursday on the program, we're going to be doing a live remote from 3 to 6 at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue. Our guest will be Dr. Lewis Brighton. Our subject, Judgment Day. I don't even know if we've done a whole hour on Judgment Day. Dr. Lewis Brighton, who has written I think probably one of the best commentaries on the book of Revelation that's out, will talk to us about Judgment Day. That's live Thursday from 3 to 6 at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue. Just follow Clayton Road up from where we're sitting right now, and you'll see Village Lutheran Church on the right-hand side. That is, if you're going west on Clayton Road. If you're going east, of course, it'll be on the left-hand side. Everyone who shows up Thursday at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue will get an Issues Etc. pin and travel mug. Refreshments will be served. We'll also have a round table of local pastors. What will we be talking about on that round table?
Lord's Supper
round table with local pastors Thursday on Issues Etc. Everyone is invited to attend. You don't have to show up at 3 and stay till 6. You can come and go as you like. You can come in. You can stay for a half hour, an hour, all 3 hours. It doesn't make much difference. We will be happy to have you here, and everyone who shows up gets a pen and a travel mug.
Can they just come up and just get a travel mug and leave?
I guess if they want to, they can walk in and just take the goodies and go.
That's
sure.
Pure grace.
Yes. It's all grace. It's all gospel. And Dr. Lewis Brighton will be our guest. We'll talk about Judgment Day. I am looking forward to that. So many misconceptions about Judgment Day. We'll try and clear them up Thursday on the program. Okay, so far we've got a sermon that has presented mother as a model of faith. He's made two points. One, that a mother's faith can change lives. It can cause miracles to happen. His example is that it's an odd statement, but he says that Mary's faith caused the incarnation. And then, a mother's faith also believes in its children. Now, he could still pull this one out, because where was Mary's faith directed? Directly at her son, Jesus Christ. But it sounds like he's not going that direction. It sounds like he's more talking about a mother kind of believing that her children can amount to something. Let's see. Here's more of Kenneth Hagin Jr.
My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when I get you home. The truth is that a mother's faith influences us far greater than any of us really realize. Susanna Wesley spent 1 hour each week praying for her 17 children. In addition, she took each child aside and discussed spiritual matters with them. Is it no wonder that her two sons, Charles and John, were mightily used both in England and America for God? Today, as a mother, you may have wondered if your good example has taught your children anything. I'm sure that some of you sitting there have wondered that several times this past week. But I share a story with you from a basic trainee in Lackland Air Base in Texas. I was very, very upset. He came to the chaplain and requested a confidential counseling session.
Before he gets into his story about the trainee at the Air Force Base, what did you hear on Mother's Day? We know what Kenneth Hagin's doing here. He's preaching the typical Mother's Day sermon, extolling mothers. Mothers don't sin. I mean, they really don't. And mothers that don't sin don't need Jesus. Now, he doesn't say mothers don't sin, but the picture he presents of mothers is they do their best, and it's really husbands and children who aren't carrying their weight. Mothers are doing their best. Their biggest problem is wondering whether or not all of their great influence and all their great example is being followed by anyone else. Their greatest worry is anyone even paying attention to them? What did you hear on Mother's Day? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. The listeners with the best questions or comments as we come to you live this Tuesday, May the 16th, for the next 20 minutes, we'll receive the book, Mommy Promises. We've got one to give away. Let's talk with Kathy, who calls from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I heard a wonderful sermon on Mother's Day. It was on the gospel text, and our pastor did mention mothers, but it was more in passing. It wasn't the reason for our being at church. I go to church to hear about Christ and Him crucified. I've heard sermons, you know, like this before. I can't say, you know, as bad as this one, where it just makes mothers into saints. But I personally find this a very depressing sermon, because I don't live up to that as a mother. My mother didn't live up to that as a mother. I don't know. You know, these sounds like these women walk on water. it's very depressing.
I imagine it could be. Now, I hadn't thought about it that from that perspective, Kathy, and thank you for the call, because not being a mother, that's another point here, and that is, if you're a husband, a father, or a kid sitting in this sermon, either you're hearing nothing but the accusations that, look at all your mother does for you. Come on. All the virtues that she has, and you don't appreciate her. What did you get her? Roses? How many? Half a dozen? Can't you spring for the full dozen? She gave birth to you. She fed you. She changed your diapers. I mean, that's what these kind of sermons amount to for people who aren't mothers. But for people who are mothers, Kathy says, there's just as much guilt. If you don't live up to this picture of the Immaculate Mother. Now, that's dealing with the sermon as merely a treatise on mothers, but where's the Jesus in all of this? He has managed to mention the Virgin Mary and mention Jesus once, but only as her son. I mean, that's his significance in this sermon. Jesus is just that guy who happens to be Mary's son. Because, after all, this is Mother's Day. This isn't Jesus Day. If the Congress passed an act saying, declaring some Sunday, at least we could get Jesus one Sunday a week in some of these churches, one Sunday a year, we would observe Jesus Day in our houses of worship, synagogues, and blah, blah, blah. You know what? I bet you evangelicals would protest it. You can't tell us what to preach. I was planning on finishing my 14-part sermon series on auto mechanics that Sunday. You can't tell me to preach Christ. But if they even suggest they preach about mothers, they're more than happy to do that and give Jesus the week off. How often is Jesus mentioned? So far, once in this sermon. Is he the subject of the verbs? No, he was not. And you can't go on with the diagnostic, because if Jesus is merely mentioned but is not the subject of the verbs, he hasn't done anything for you. The sermon so far isn't about Jesus. I think that's patently obvious. And look, all this diagnostic does is just answer the question, who is the sermon about? It's either about Jesus or you. And if you happen to be a mother, yes, this sermon is about you. Kathy says, if this is about me, I'm in pretty sad shape, because I'm not the mother he's describing. I don't know of any mother who is. And as I said before, if mothers are portrayed as, for all intents and purposes, without sin on Mother's Day, then that's one day. Maybe that's the thing we celebrate on Mother's Day, that mothers don't need Jesus that day?
Sir, he said, I'm afraid that what I will say will negatively affect my training record. Try me, the chaplain said, prepared for the worst. Sir, are you sure that you can be objective? The trainee inquired anxiously. Calmly, the chaplain reassured him, of course I can. Now, what's the matter, son? His eyes wide with fear, the trainee blurted out to the chaplain, I miss my mom. That's not so unusual, though, is it? I want to encourage each mother here to keep up the good work. Your faith is more powerful than you think. You know, I stand here today and probably more of my life was shaped by the lady sitting on this front seat down here than anything else. Spiritual things and as well as natural things. You know, when they pan the sidelines at a football game or some kind of sporting events, you ever notice that the guys on the sidelines, their first response, hi, Mom. I've yet to hear one say, hi, Dad. It's always, hi, Mom. Now, they respect their dads and they love their dads, but you know, a son and a mom, a daughter and a mom have a special relationship that cannot be replaced by anything.
Okay, I'm back to the point I made first when we were talking about this in the last segment. Right. Who's going to disagree with that? A mother has a special relationship with their children. And it's not like the relationship of a father. Look, if I wanted to go and listen to a lecture or a treatise on motherhood, I would expect more than that. If you're going to preach a sermon and give Jesus the week off and preach a sermon about mothers, then say something about mothers beyond what you could learn from. This isn't even Dr. Phil stuff. mothers have a special relationship with their children. Well, of course they do. But that seems about all the deeper we're going to go here.
You know, a mom will love no matter and be there for that child no matter what they do. Whether they succeed or whether they fail, mom is always there patting them on the back saying, it'll be all right. A mother's faith produces a godly legacy that can bless generations to come. I stand here and think about my own father, of how that my grandmother raised him, as well as Uncle Dove. I ain't no late Uncle Dove, Dad and Uncle Pat, by herself. And I think of the legacy that he left behind and the generations that he touched. Because a little old lady, 4'11" tall, wouldn't let those boys get away with anything.
He's talking, of course, about his father, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who is the grandpappy of the Word Faith movement. Yes, indeed. What a legacy that 4'11" woman has left if she is actually responsible for what Kenneth Hagin Sr. taught for all the years he was alive. You do know what Word Faith teaching is and how many lives it has, through its false teaching, destroyed. Look, blame Dad for that one, Kenneth. Don't blame Grandma for that one. I certainly hope she didn't teach your sons that. Cindy's calling from South County. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I heard teaching like this all the time, and basically what he's teaching them is to have faith in their faith.
Yes, fideism is the technical name for that, Cindy. So mothers are an example of how to believe and trust their faith.
Exactly. And the stories that he's stringing together aren't even good.
Funny, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. That's exactly what someone here in the studio is saying. I mean, you can tell stories, tell good stories. But see, now we're not even evaluating this sermon on the basis of whether or not it mentions Jesus or the diagnostic that we have. See, what you're left with, is, are the stories interesting? No, not really. Maybe. Are the jokes good? I don't know, I've heard them before. You can only hear them so often until they become kind of tired. If a preacher isn't going to preach Christ, then upon what basis do you evaluate whether the sermon was good or bad? Those are the only things you can go to. Are the stories interesting? Are the jokes good? Did he give me something to remember? Did he say something profound about mothers? Lois calls from St. Louis. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Todd. I just want to let you know that in our church on Sunday, our pastor actually preached a sermon on about Mother's Day, which that we don't usually do in our church. But he used that he didn't use the readings that we that were on the back of the bulletin that other churches were reading. We used the Old Testament reading Isaiah 66:10-13, and as a summary of that, he's got, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And then also we did selections out of Psalm 68, which talks about God sets the solitary in families. Then we did the epistle, 1 John 4:7-21. We have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. And then we did the gospel reading was John 19:25-27, where Jesus, about Jesus' love for his mother, when he tells John to take care of his mother.
So was the sermon about mothers?
It was about Jesus.
Good to hear it, Lois.
And also, he said that the church is our mother. He referred to the church as our mother, and he referred to us. Now, this is the funny thing, because Pastor Spomer is our pastor, and he's always got something very funny to add. He referred to us mothers as a bunch of red-hot mamas.
I won't go into that one, Lois.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I won't even ask about that one. Okay, you know, you can preach on Mother's Day and even talk about mothers. And even, yes, you can. You can even judiciously choose from the various Old Testament epistle gospel readings in order in order to accommodate that day. I think that can be done carefully, cautiously. The real question is, at the bottom line, are you going to preach Christ or mothers? Very good to hear that your pastor preached Christ. What? Where is it in Scripture where St. Paul says, we preach mothers or fathers or any of that stuff? And I'm glad to hear that your pastor, Lois, that your pastor talked about the church as our mother, because that is precisely the picture that Scripture paints, both in Ephesians and in the book of Revelation. The church as our mother. And that's a great direction to go on Mother's Day. Back to Kenneth Hagin. Let's see what direction he's headed.
And they were big old boys. I mean, Uncle Pat, Uncle Doug was 6'5". Uncle Pat was about 6'2". Dad was the shortest one at 6'1". Aunt Olita was, what, 5'10", I believe. And, I mean, but Pat's mama, I mean, you know, I'm in up there in high, in what, sophomore in high school, and she could stand, I put my arm out like this, she could stand under, you know, by 10. I stayed with her when I was young a lot because Mom and Dad were traveling. But I tell you what, she might not could see, but I guarantee you one thing, she could apply the Board of the Board of Education to the seat of learning without any problems. You know, I think one of the things that we are missing in today's society and its proper discipline. Number three, a mother's faith can change circumstances of life. Once again, reading from John's Gospel, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he says." Here we see a mother speaking to her son. Not as the son of God. She's just speaking to her son. She says, "They have no more wine." She's saying, "Do something about it." And she didn't even pay any attention when he said, "It's not my time." She just turned and said, "Do whatever he says."
Okay, now Mary has gone from being believing whatever to now kind of disregarding her son. Now, the last time I checked, John tells the story of the wedding at Canaan, and that the story is not about Mary. Mary is, of course, in the story, no doubt about that, but the story is about Jesus Christ revealing himself to his disciples. John even tells us what the story is about. Well, Kenneth Hagin has, because it's Mother's Day, of course. It's not Jesus' Day, it's Mother's Day. He's retelling the story, and in his retelling, the story of the wedding of Canaan is now about Mary.
See, that's a mother's faith that can change circumstances. You know, can you hear a mother's faith in her son's ability in those words? Do what he says. Do what he tells you. Have you ever been with a mother and she pulled out the pictures of her kids? I want you to look at them. Or maybe a grandmother. Or a granddad, as far as that's concerned. I guess I carry my pictures right here, and I'm always showing them to people, and Lynette does too. But it's because we believe in our children and our grandchildren. A mother's faith in her child will cause a child to accomplish or will cause a child to fail. It's the words spoken to a child that either builds confidence and belief in theirself, both naturally and spiritually, or it's words spoken that will cause them to not believe in themselves and to fail in life. It is so important that a mother speak the right words and believe in their children. A mother believes that her child is smart a long time before anybody else ever does. You know, there was a man by the name of Thomas A. Edison. Anybody ever heard of him? I saw three hands. May I ask that question again? Anybody ever heard of Thomas A. Edison? If it had not been for his mother, we may not have had an electric light.
Okay, I think this will go down as most egregious example so far of Mother's Day sermons during our Issues Etc. sermon review. He's on to talking about Thomas A. Edison's mother and the electric light, and we have her to thank for that. So next time you go to the light switch, folks, thank Thomas A. Edison's mother for the electric light, because without her, we wouldn't have had it. Which, again, is kind of obvious, because if she hadn't been around, then Thomas A. Edison wouldn't have been around. And apparently, if Mary had not exercised her faith and changed the circumstances, we wouldn't even have a Savior. But not that that really matters, because this was Mother's Day. It wasn't Jesus' Day. When a sermon on Mother's Day, I mean, they're the kind of sermons that at least make an attempt to be creative on Mother's Day. If they give Jesus the week off, they're still just useless. You go to brunch early and avoid church. If your pastor's just going to preach about mothers, just schedule, you know, if you schedule brunch early, you can beat the rush on Mother's Day. If you know your pastor's going to preach on mothers and not on Jesus, make your reservations for 10 o'clock and go when you would normally go to church. You will have more benefit from eating the buffet at Casa Gallarda with your mother than you will hearing a Mother's Day sermon like this. And when it amounts to nothing more than, you know, M is for the milk that she poured for me, and O is for the Oreos that I dipped into the milk, and T is for the time she tickled my tummy, and H is for the ham sandwich she made me when I was hungry, we could do without that kind of preaching. Kathy, give us a call back, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll send you Mommy Promises book. There's more substance in that book, by the way, than in this Mother's Day sermon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.